William D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason with Adam Vingan here with you at Ford Ice Center Bellevue for Predators training camp. And Chase McCabe, whose show is over,
is
still sitting here for some reason.
It's not over.
I didn't want to leave.
It's not over. I tell you when it's over.
Well, you're the boss, so you can stay as long as you want.
Yeah, you know, I get asked a lot of questions. I get sent emails. I get sent tweets about what I should do and, you know, and all that stuff. And it makes me laugh sometimes with some of the things. Because I tweeted out, hey, I have an announcement. And undoubtedly people are like, oh, you're letting Stillman go. And I go, yes, I'm going to come out on the air and I'm going to say that. That's what's going to happen. But one of the things that I have gotten the last several years is that I need to bring somebody on full time and make them a part of the station. And I'm trying to get something ready to go here. And that is you, Adam Vingan. I get that a lot. And so I am very excited to make this official and welcome Adam full time to the team, and he's going to join.
Woo!
He's going to join you guys. You've been here.
It's been the worst kept secret in Nashville, seeing as I've been hosting the show for about a month.
Yeah, and so you know you are going to officially Monday join the team, and you know that was you'll hear that open for the rest of the day. But I just thought it needed a little something extra. Hit it, Nick.
Thought-provoking discussions on your favorite sports while you work.
Here is my big takeaway.
Former All-Pro NFL wide receiver Derek Mason.
Caught by Derek Mason. Here's a touchdown.
Longtime reporter Adam Vingan.
I am a fan of maximum chaos.
Predators TV voice Willie Donick. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick are DVD. Your sports live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
So how about that? DVD.
I like it.
I like it. That's three old folks. Yep, Adam, you are in it with us.
There are some listeners who may not know what a DVD is. There used to be a time where if you wanted to stream
that
your
favorite... That was state of the art.
Right. If there was a time where if you wanted to watch your favorite show... You know, as Chase knows full well, I am a big Simpsons fan.
You are.
It wasn't available on Disney Plus to just watch every episode you wanted. You had to go to a store and buy a box set of a single season. And there were usually three or four discs with five or six episodes each. And that's how you used to have to watch television. So, I mean, or DVDs.
Yeah.
But that is, you know, as I said, it's been the worst kept secret in Nashville, seeing as I've been co-hosting the show for about a month. But... You know, I'm thrilled to be a part of the station full time. 102.5 has been so good to me since I moved to Nashville nearly 10 years ago. When I say that, it's hard to believe it's been almost a decade. But right from the start, 102.5 has been excellent to me, especially over the past 2 years when I've undergone a career transition. And I'm thankful to Chase and the rest of the Cromwell Media management team for giving me this opportunity. I'm ecstatic to work with Willie and Derek every day. I've really enjoyed working with them for the past month. As sappy as it sounds, I'm very grateful for the opportunity. So I'm thrilled to be here and to have my name on the show.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I am a fan of Maximum Chaos.
I heard that clip. I'm like, yeah, that's it.
That was in reference to... hoping that Malik Willis starts for the Packers against the Titans on Sunday, because if that were to happen and the Titans lost, there would be maximum chaos. Chase, I joked that that were to happen, I would rush to the studio on Sunday, preempt whatever national program we have on, and just take calls for the rest of the day. But yes, not to belabor the point, but I am thrilled to be here. I'm happy to be a part of the 102.5 team officially. And Willie and D. Mace is now DVD.
Yes, beginning on Monday. And you've been a part of the team, you know, in different capacities for a long time, so this only made sense.
Well, one of the things that I continue to be so proud of, having been somebody who came in basically at the start of, yeah, of 102.5 The Game. I've been at this station
you had a
longer.
Great intern then too. Great intern.
I was going to mention you. I was going to mention that. But I am one of the originals here, and I've actually, as long as I've been doing this, mm-hmm, and it's been over 30 years now, 30, oh, 31 years at different stations, but I have not been at any station longer than I've been at this one. And what I probably am most proud of is how well we have developed talent. And Adam, I think, is another great example of somebody who came in, did the work behind the scenes, worked on a skill that was not his first skill. His training was journalism and writing, which he's done a great job of, which serves him really well in this venue, but he had to learn the craft, just like when Chase was an intern on the day, showed me how to get on Twitter.
I did.
If you look up where I got on Twitter, that was Chase doing all, pushing all the buttons to get me on there. But Chase is a great story. He runs the show. He's the suit now, like Ryan Porth and Max Hurst and so many other people. I mean, we have a long list of people that we have developed. And Adam is the latest guy, so we are thrilled to have him. You know, we've already, if you've been listening, we are hardcore. We can talk this any language that you want. Adam's really going to enhance our ability to cover the hockey team, the Predators here. We're at training camp. We're excited about that as well. And, you know, I'm excited where this show is going to go.
Well, I mean, in regards to Chase, the old adage, you started from the bottom, now you're
here.
There we go. Chase is a prime example of someone starting as an intern and then working his way up to the suit. But, no, I do appreciate, Adam, his insight. Now Willie doesn't have to worry so much about the numbers now because Adam – is the numbers guy, and Willie can be the de facto numbers guy.
That's right.
You know, so, but Adam.
We did have a perfect example of that the other day.
Yeah, we did.
We were talking about Will Levis's touchdown throw to Calvin Ridley, and Derek said, I have to imagine that the probability of that ball being caught had to be somewhere in the teens. And I say, it's funny you mention that, Derek, because I have the exact number.
He had the number right there.
It was 16.5%.
Adam reminds me, and listen, before I get to what Adam reminds me of or who he reminds me of.
Hopefully it's good.
It's good. It's a show I just started watching on Hulu. But the unique part about not just this show, but I think this station, I think we're the only station, or I do believe that we're the only station that can cover, like, have insight, good insight and intel on every sport in the city, whether it's hockey, whether it's football, football, college baseball. We have it all in-house. Guys that can talk about it in depth, whether it's Adam, whether it's Willie, you go to our other shows, Jared, Rex, all those guys, Robbie, everybody, you, Big Joe, Paul that comes on, TD. We have guys that can not just talk the primary sport that they're in, but we go across all spectrums when it comes to sports here in Nashville. So that's what I truly appreciate about this station and what I appreciate about Adam, because it's not just hockey with Adam. Adam knows it all. Yeah. But he reminds me this movie, that show that I'm watching on Hulu, and I forgot the name of the show. But the lady has 160 IQ, and they want her to be help be a detective on a show. Like, she's just a regular citizen. And she got arrested one day for something. Then she ended up walking past. She got arrested for going into the precinct late at night. She was a custodial worker and rearranging this case that they were doing. She figured the case out when they couldn't. They got mad at her. They put her in jail. And then they needed her help with another case. And she has this 160 IQ, and she figures everything out.
Is this the show with is this the show with Caitlin Olson?
I think that's her. She has three kids. And I forgot the name of it. I just started watching. I wish I had the name of it. It's on Hulu. But Adam reminds me of her because of, the vast
high potential. Is that the show? High potential?
I think it is. I need to see the lady. But, so Adam knows – he knows his numbers.
Yep.
And he knows a little bit about everything.
He also lowers our average age per host.
Yeah, you're right about that.
We're happy about that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a – how old – I don't even know. How old am I? 35?
Just go as low as you want.
35. Yeah, I'm a sprightly 35.
Lower than us.
Yeah. You can go 31 if you want to.
Well, congratulations, Adam.
Thank
it's well
you,
deserved.
Chase.
We're excited to have you as a part of our team here on 102.5 The Game. And, you know, you guys, the chemistry spoke for itself, so it made this pretty easy. So we enjoy the day, enjoy the celebration, the victory lap, as I like to put it. So I know you guys got a guest. I will get out of your hair, and I believe Colton Sissons is also going to join you here.
Yes, looking forward to talking to Colton Sissons here in just a few moments. But before we get to Colton Sissons, on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Bill Huber joins us. Bill has been covering the Green Bay Packers for a long time, and obviously the Titans are preparing to face the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. And Bill, the question on everybody's mind, the word of the day, by the way, in Green Bay over the past couple of days has been limited, which is what Jordan Love's status is heading into Sunday's matchup against the Titans. There's been a lot of reporting suggesting he might give it a go. Based on what you've seen from Jordan Love, you know, what are the chances that Love could be under center for the Packers on Sunday in Nashville?
Gosh, man, I don't know. I mean, if I was a betting man, I would say I would bet a dollar that he will not, but I wouldn't bet $2. I mean, I don't know.
Smart.
I will say, like, we don't get to see a whole lot of practice this time of year, but what we got to see, he looks fine. He's got a brace on his left knee, but he seems to be moving okay. He's taking his full complement of reps of what we've gotten to see. But, like, when they start going to do the team drills, we're not out there to see that. So, I mean, at this point, I don't know if he's taken – you know, some, most, all of those. I don't know. Nobody's seeing anything. They've been very good at keeping on message this week. So I think he might play, but I don't think anything would surprise me. I mean, they got a home game against the Vikings coming up here next week, and obviously a division game being a big deal. Maybe just try to get through this one. So, yeah, it'll be a fascinating 72 hours for sure.
So if Jordan Love doesn't start, of course, that is the return to Tennessee of Malik Willis, and I thought that the game plan Matt LaFleur had for the Packers against the Colts was certainly interesting. I saw that the Packers ran a design run on nearly three quarters of their plays against the Colts. Malik Willis, if I'm not mistaken, attempted 14 passes. It worked against the Colts, but now that it's on tape and the Titans are prepared for that, if Malik Willis starts on Sunday, how much do you expect the Packers' game plan to change if Malik Willis starts on Sunday?
Yeah, it's going to have to. And this is like, it's like no one's talking about this around here besides me. They ran the ball like all world great for the first quarter. They ran the ball really good in the second quarter, and they ran the ball terribly in the second half. So it's like, you know, the Colts figured it out, so we're enough of this crap. And they put the foot down, and, you know, Indy's defense stinks, and Tennessee's defense is good. I just don't see any way on earth that the Packers can roll out that same game plan and have it be successful. I just don't see – Tennessee's too good for that. So Willis is going to have to make some plays. Obviously, Tennessee's pass defense is number one in the league. Green Bay's receivers are really good. They're underrated. I don't think people around the league have a really good feel for what they've got. But, yeah, there's just no way that Josh Jacobs can run the ball 32 times and win this game. They're going to have to make some plays, and we'll see if Malik Willis is up to the task. I'm sure Titans fans are going to say there's no way on earth he's up to the task. Looked pretty good, I got to say. Again, – he wasn't asked to do much, but like on third down, he was 7 out of 8 passing on third down, got 5 first downs. So, I mean, when he had to make plays, he did.
Now, Bill, was it obvious or was it evident that some of the play calls were sort of modified for Malik Willis? Because I know Matt LaFleur, if you want to have an opportunity to win the game, you can't condense your offense that much. Yes, you're going to take some things out because he's not Jordan Love, but you still have to be able to run your offense. Do you believe, or does it come off that LaFleur has confidence in Malik Willis that if Josh Jacobs can't get going in the run game, because that's what the Titans here are preaching, stop the run, stop the run. If they can't get the run game going like they did last week, do you believe they have enough confidence in Malik Willis that, you know, they're not asking him to throw the ball 30 times, but if they get anywhere around that 20 to 25 times, will they be comfortable with that?
Yeah, that's a phenomenal question. Certainly, this will be a cop-out answer. I mean, they're certainly more, you know, confident in him now than they were a week ago, just because of how he was accurate and he seemed to know what he was doing, and the ball was on time, and he made some plays when he had to. But, man, that track record in Tennessee, it's hard to ignore. Right? I mean, I know he really had a good preseason, but again, he's been here for, you know, by the time Sunday rolls around, he'll have been acquired 27 days ago. It's and I know, like, he doesn't need to know the whole playbook. He just needs to know this week's game plan. So that certainly helps him. But like, does he know the third read, right? If, you know, Snead takes away read number one and, you know, the slot takes away number two, does he know where number three is, right? And I think that's where the questions are. But yeah, I think, you're right. He's not going to throw the ball 30 times. So yeah, I do think there's more confidence that if they need to, that he can make some plays. But I think the Packers' goose is cooked if they have to throw it 30 times. That just seems like an uphill climb, especially against that defense.
Absolutely. Now, are they naming Jordan Love? Do you believe they will name him the backup? Because they don't seem to have a third quarterback on the roster. Have they elevated a third quarterback yet?
No, they'll do that Saturday. It'll be Sean Clifford. He was this is wild, right? So at Penn State, Sean Clifford beat out Will Levis.
Right.
Will Levis beats out Malik Willis. Then Malik Willis comes out to Green Bay and beats out Sean Clifford to be the backup. So it's this unbelievable triangulation of quarterbacking. So Clifford was the number two last year. Had a pretty dismal training camp, which is why they obviously brought in Willis. If they need to, you know, probably either way, they'll probably elevate Clifford on Saturday before they hop on the airplane.
So, Bill, this is why we've got to give the people what we want. Like, just talk to Coach LaFleur. Like, this is what the people want to see. They want to see this drama with the triangulation of the quarterbacks like that. But I do want to ask you about Matt LaFleur, because it's another interesting backstory to this, because if you go way back when the Titans were interviewing coaches several years ago, they interviewed both Mike Vrabel and Matt LaFleur for the head coaching position. And as you know, they hired Vrabel, and then Vrabel turned and hired Matt LaFleur as his offensive coordinator. And a year later, he got the Packers job. We always kind of wind the clock back and wonder, what if they had gone the other way? And, you know, how would that have changed the course of history? But Matt LaFleur is obviously each year gets more and more kudos, I think, for what he's done, especially in the post Aaron Rodgers situation. How is he viewed by the vast, legions of those Packer fans? How much credibility has he built up?
Yeah, I would say a fair amount, but like this place is called Title Town, right? And I'm not talking about division titles. Fans are ready for a Super Bowl. It's been since 2010 since they've gotten there, and much less won one. You know, they were the number one. They had a first-round bye in 2019 and got shellacked by the 49ers in the title game. In 2020, they had the number one seed, and they lost to Brady's Buccaneers here. In 2021, they were the number one seed and lost in their first playoff game. In 2022, they didn't even get to the playoffs. I think Packer fans are like, it's great to win all these games, but at some point, buddy, you got to go win the big one. And look, I realize it's hard to win the big one, but I think fans want to see him beat. They want to see him beat Kyle Shanahan for one, and then finally get over the hump. I think he deserves a lot of credit for rebuilding this thing on the fly after they got rid of Rodgers, and coming together with last week's game plan and kind of putting aside your passing game ego, because that's what coaches love to throw the football. I mean, certainly Derek knows coaches want to throw the football, right? And to actually, honest to God, run the football and stick with it for four quarters, I think that was a hell of a game plan, and credit to him for running it.
We're talking Bill Huber. We're talking Packers, who take on the Titans, of course, on Sunday. Bill, we kind of hit this story a bit yesterday from our end of it with Jeff Hafley coming in to run the Packers defense. What are you seeing so far as the early returns on how they're trying to go about it to improve?
Yeah, well, let's start. You know, the run defense needs to get better, because if the run defense doesn't get better against Pollard and those guys, you know, they're going to get run out of the building on Sunday. So that's the starting point. But Joe Barry is the coordinator for 3 years, and they were never really more than mediocre, and fans got sick of him. And, you know, he every time they needed to get a stop in a big game, he failed. So far, so good with Hafley. They've got a lot of turnovers. We'll see if they can keep it up. But last year they had 7 interceptions for the entire season. They've got 5 already. Now, it certainly helps that they kind of dropped a nuke on the safety core, and they brought in Xavier McKinney, and they drafted Javon Bullard, and those guys have been like infinite upgrades over what they had. So, so far, so good. It's interesting, right? You know, LaFleur interviewed Denard Wilson, and Denard gets the Titans job, and the Packers get Hafley. So, kind of interesting, you know, kind of deal with the coordinators. I would think both teams are probably pretty thrilled with the early returns there.
Bill Huber, the the proprietor of Packer Central, longtime Packers reporter, joining us here on DVD. I have to get used to saying that. Bill, thank you for joining us, and keep us in the loop about Jordan Love, will you?
Yeah, got practice.
Yeah, just send us a text real quick.
Yeah, we got practice in 35 minutes, so we'll
all right.
All right. I'm assuming the word limited will be in it, but please let us know. Yes, thank you. Bill Huber joining us from Green Bay. Thanks, yep. Bill. Bill Huber joining us from Packer Central, longtime Packers reporter. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Predators forward Colton Sissons will join us. We are live at Predators training camp at Ford Ice Center Bellevue. 615-737-1025. Tune into 1025, 1063, the game this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores will take on Missouri with pregame beginning at 1:30 and kickoff at 3:15. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, I have to get used to saying that now, on 1025, 1063, the game, live from Predators training camp at Ford Ice Center, Bellevue. And we were pleased to be joined by one of the longest are you the longest tenured member of the team now? You have to be up
close.
There.
It's close. I think Yos has got him by little bit.
Colton Sissons is here.
Maybe Phil.
Predators forward
Phil
Colton
might have
Sissons.
You by just a smidge.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look this up, but this is the 11th season, I believe, we discussed of you being a member of this organization as an everyday member of the Predators. But you've been in the organization longer than that. So how does that feel to know that you're up there? I'm not saying you're old, because I think we're about the same age, but how does that feel?
I don't know. I feel like I come to camp, I'm nervous and anxious like it was my first couple of years, so I've been around a minute, but I don't feel too old yet, so that's good.
you have seen it all, you know. Willie just mentioned you were here when Barry was still coaching, and you've seen the come up of the team, making it to the Stanley Cup Final, winning the President's Trophy, undergone some transition. But considering where you were, or where the organization was when you started, versus where it is now, I mean, how do you describe that journey for you and the journey of the organization over that time?
Yeah, I mean, a lot has turned over. A lot has changed. It's hard to summarize, really. Had some great coaches and some great teams along the way, and almost finished it off the 1 year. Came up a little bit short, but I think just the excitement and the support around Nashville and beyond in Tennessee and the South is probably the biggest difference. It's just grown so much since my draft day back in 2012. It's like night and day, so. It's been fun to be a part of that journey.
We watched from afar, of course, on July 1st when Barry went hog wild, spending God knows how much money. I know there's a figure on it. I don't remember it, but it was a lot. Bringing in Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, Brady Shea, re-signing UC. But those three free agent additions in particular, I believe a couple of your teammates have likened it to Christmas Day, seeing all of those players come in. Take us back to July 1st for you. What was your initial reaction when you learned that Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, and Brady Shea were now members of the Nashville Predators?
Yeah, I mean, it was shocking. It was kind of hard to believe. I had to refresh the old Twitter or X feed a few times.
I still call it Twitter. It's okay.
Wipe my eyes a few times to see if I was reading that right or if those were just rumors. But, yeah, I couldn't believe it. Just so excited. We were all fired up texting each other and texting them, and it was a pretty cool day.
Now, Colton, how has it, you know, you were excited to see those names once they were acquired. How has it been the first couple of days of practice, or what, today's the first day, right?
Second day, yeah.
Second day of practice. How has it been with those guys on ice with y'all?
It's been great. Fortunately, all those guys came in pretty early because mm-hmm. school starts at the beginning of August in Tennessee. So we've been skating and hanging out and, getting not only the hockey guys but the wives together and getting to know each other. And everyone seems to be gelling pretty good. And once camp opens up here, you know it's on. And it's pretty cool to see those names buzzing around the rink and playing in the scrimmages today, competing against those guys. It's awesome. And, they fit in really well so far. And hardworking guys. There's no big egos that we're going to have to deal with. So hopefully we can gel pretty quickly.
Now, because I've been through this where you've played against an individual for a good while, and you sort of dislike them, not as a person, but dislike them because they're on another team. And then you get on the team with them, and you sort of see them in a different light. Has it been that way with you guys, with the new guys that they brought in?
Yeah, a little bit. You mm-hmm. never know kind of what their personalities are like mm-hmm. Off the ice or in the locker room. So that's always the biggest learning curve. But I think Smitty broke Marchessault's hand last year, his finger with a slash. So they had to hug it out, I think, early, but that's about it.
You know, you were mentioning the families getting together, and I know, like, Luke Shen's family goes way back with Steven Stamkos' family. I know Ryan O'Reilly and Luke Shen's kids are about the same age. I feel like the youth hockey programs around here, for a certain age of kid, they're going to have some loaded teams here in the next couple of years.
It's looking that way. Yeah, they got a pretty good coaching staff. Yeah, some parents are going to be pretty shocked who's going to be teaching their kids in down south now, so they're pretty fortunate.
I know what got talked about a lot last year was the uniqueness of Andrew Burnett, the way he wants to play, and you could really see it take shape over the course of the season last year. You guys gelled more and more the more you guys did it. So how much is it different on the first day of camp this year now that you've done it for a year?
Yeah, it feels a lot different for personally. It was a lot to take in. There's a lot of new systems, and it just stylistically just different. We were taught one way for a long time, and we almost felt like we were cheating a little bit how fast he wants us to play and anticipate and get up the ice. So we kind of just had to took some time to accept that and kind of just ingrain it into your brain that you don't have to think too much. It just starts happening kind of naturally and instinctually. And, it took us a little bit to understand that. But I think a lot of the guys coming back in have a good grasp of it, and I think we'll probably be able to start a little quicker.
You can play. One of the things that every coach that you've played for has used you, you can play with anybody, put him anywhere in the lineup. How tough is that for you? Is that just something you accept and say, this is my role in the league, or would you like to settle in and just play with the same two guys the whole year? Because that's never happened, right? I mean, not.
I don't even know what that's like. So. It would be cool, I guess, to see one time, but no, I'm pretty open to just sliding around them. I think I don't really need to change my game that much, no matter if I'm playing with Phil or if I'm playing a checking role with McCarron and Smitty or you know whatever I have to do. I kind of bring what I bring no matter what. And, I just like being the Swiss Army knife a little bit. It's kept me around, so I'm going to keep doing it.
One thing that I know you guys are really hungry to do is to get to the playoffs and have some success. And I'm just wondering what – it's such a razor's edge when you watch the playoffs every year. Like that series last year – you go back to it, just a couple of moments here and there, it could have been completely different. But it's hard for maybe people on the outside to realize how tough it is. How do you try to, number one, live with it, but also learn and have it drive you to be able to win on the margins, which is what it takes sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly tight. And, you know, sometimes both teams just leave it all out there, and it's just a bounce one way or the other. That's how tight the playoffs are these days, especially even in the first round. I mean, just the league is so tight, the competition's so tight, and everyone's games are so dialed in at that point of the year. But every series is different, you know. The momentum swings, and sometimes managing that, especially on the road, is tough. I think we could have managed that a little bit better in the Vancouver series. But there's just so many variables that come into play. You never know which one's going to be the difference.
This group is pretty unique in that you have a really good stable of veterans. Some like yourself have been here for a while. Then you've got these new guys coming in that have won in other places. Then you've got this young group that has done very well in Milwaukee. You were one of those guys for a while. Now you see these guys coming up. It looks like a good blend of depth. And so how does that work when you guys are all together like that? Who are some of the guys that tie them all together, the young guys with the older guys?
I mean, I think everybody kind of pulls their weight and in that regard, the game's so different from even when I came into camp. There's no really factions between the vets and the rookies. Everyone's so open to being together and including everybody. Everyone has dinner on the roads together. I mean, we just do two team functions all the time. Starts with Yost and Factor and myself. And like Evangelista was playing cards on the plane last year, so. That says everything.
I did. Yeah, that was it. I remember one time we were on the road, and the broadcast crew went out, and we looked to our right and to our left. I mean, there was just the whole team was like, I guess we all have good taste. We followed you guys. We didn't plan on it or anything, but it was interesting to see so many times you guys all do end up flocking together.
Yeah,
it's not clicky or things like that. Like it can be.
Yeah, not at all. It's been that way here, really, for a long time. You know, the old guard with Shea Weber and Pecorine, those guys included everybody and made a point to have the young guys at dinners and hanging out with them in the locker room and just including them in everything. So that's just the way it is now, naturally. So we're pretty fortunate to have a group like that.
Colton Sissons joining us here on DVD. Again, I'm going to have to get used to saying it. It's a new show. You mentioned Luke Evangelista.
Ask Colton if he's ever owned a DVD.
Have you ever owned a DVD?
When's the last time you had one?
When's the last time you bought a DVD?
I don't know, man. 16 years ago.
Throwback. We're going throwback.
Maybe more than that. Probably more than that.
Kids these days, they don't know how good they have it, that an entire series is available at the click of their fingertips. They don't have to go to Best Buy like I did to buy box sets of The Sopranos and things of that nature.
Blockbuster.
Yeah, I miss those days, man.
He knows about Blockbuster. There we go.
Kids, you used to have to rent movies. Yes, yeah, you have to rewind them. It's anyway. So you Willie brought up Luke Evangelista. If I'm not mistaken, you've been skating with him so far through camp. I was impressed from afar by the steps that he took. And when you are that young, you know, the physical strides you make, the mental strides you take year over year can be gigantic. Just where do you see him as camp starts versus where he was last season as he was navigating his first full NHL season?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely come in very confident. You know, not that he wasn't confident coming in last year, but I think he's come into his own a little bit physically after a year in the NHL and learning how tough that can be. It's a different animal playing a full 82 in the NHL. So he's got that under his belt and worked hard. He always works hard this summer. I know he had a big summer back home and just has a great attitude, has some swagger and some confidence, which we love. Doesn't take it too far, doesn't have an inflated ego or anything. He has a good balance, and he's a great kid, and I think he's going to have a big impact on us this year.
Barry Trotz has placed an emphasis on bringing in what he calls serial winners, and he started it last year, bringing in Ryan O'Reilly and Luke Shen and Gus Nyquist, and of course the moves that he made over the summer. So by my count, the team now has four players who have won the Stanley Cup at least once since 2019, and Stamkos, Marchessault, Ryan O'Reilly, and Luke Shen. You have two Conn Smythe Trophy winners in that group in O'Reilly and Marchessault. It's easy for us from the outside to talk about the effect that players who have been there and done that, and this doesn't even include players like yourself and Roman and Phillip who have gone far in the postseason, even if you haven't won a championship yet. But we talk about how much effect those winners have in a dressing room. But you being in a dressing room, how much does that permeate the room, knowing guys that have won championships, have been the MVP of the postseason, and how it helps all of you, you know, mentally and preparing for the season?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that guys that have been there and done that just command so much respect from everybody. You can really trust what they're telling you because they've walked the walk and got it done at the end of the day. And that's no easy task, as we all know in the NHL. So when they pipe up in the room in between periods or even if we have a bad practice day, it commands attention, and people really take it to heart and listen and try to instill what they're telling you.
Colton Sissons, Predators forward, joining us here on DVD. Colton, it was great to see you. Thank you for joining us, and I hope we can talk again soon.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Colton Sissons. I'm going to have to get used to saying that again.
We'll get it.
We'll get it.
He's a radio guy now. Yes. He's got to speak clearly, right? He's not right. I mean, can't just type it in.
No, I can't type it in anymore. I mean, like, I've been talking to this guy for close to 10 years. I should know how to say his name by now. Colton Sissons joining us here on DVD. Thanks, Colton. 615-737-1025. We'll talk about that. We'll discuss the Titans. We'll get into all of it next. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game. D-Mace, Bingen, and Donick here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Certainly the song is not talking about me. I am not a macho man.
I'm not sure what Nick has up his sleeve with the macho man, but I do want to ask this question. Adam, have you pondered a little bit more? Because we wanted to put you in the mood.
Yes.
For people that, and of course, if you joined us late, we have named Adam officially as a member of our team now as a DVD moves forward. And mm-hmm. this could be a standard question we ask all of our guests is, when is the last time you used a DVD? We're getting further and further moved. But Adam shared with us yesterday that he is going to be solo in the house. His wife, Bridget, his son, Arlo, off to see the grandparents.
Yes.
And so Adam is batching it this weekend. And so we gave him the choices yesterday, but it seemed like he was going, and Nick, do you have this ready? Let me just get a signal from Nick Frazier. Do we have the song ready to sort of set the mood for Adam's weekend? Do we have this? Okay, Adam.
He's efforting.
He's efforting.
He's efforting.
Nick's, a lot on Nick's plate, man. This is tough. It's hard. We got. We've already had two guests. We've set the table for the Titans game. We gave you some flavor from. Here we go. This is Adam this weekend. Just get a visual of Adam right now. Think Tom Cruise.
Just take those old records on the shelf.
Have you done this yet?
I have not. Let me tell you about my. Like I said, like Willie said. My wife and son are in Florida visiting my wife's parents, so it's a very rare occasion where I'm home by myself. Let me tell you about the rest of my day after I left the station. I went home. I took the dog for a walk. I did some writing. I went and got dinner. And then by like 8 o'clock, I was asleep watching the David Chase Sopranos documentary on Max. So a very exciting time. I'm an old man now. I'm 35, and... you know
D-base.
What?
Can we talk to Adam about an old man? Come on, 35?
Yeah, he's not old. Goodness gracious, man.
I feel like he needs to cut loose a little more here. I feel like the risky business thing, I mean, we've seen the video.
We've seen it.
Like,
come on.
I think this is – get in the mode.
No, this is
appreciate
where –
appreciate these times.
On. This is where not only our wonderful Nick – he does a great job at doing things for us as far as social media and putting things together. So Nick does a great job at that. But also our listeners, they do a great job at sending us stuff or reposting stuff. I want one of our listeners or Nick to – I want that whole scene, but I want Adam's face on him when he comes
no.
sliding out. Tom Cruise yeah. with Adam's
when
head.
When he comes yeah. sliding out, I want Adam's head to be on that. So can y'all do that for us, please?
Yeah, somebody – we're ordering that up. Somebody
no.
somebody, dial it up.
No,
Steve Mason,
no,
I was
going to
mention
you.
That earlier. I don't want to see Adam like that. I just can't. I can't. It's not a visual I don't want to see.
Nick, we didn't hear any of that.
Yeah, Nick, you sound like a robot.
You sound like a robot malfunctioning.
Oh, no. Well, I was just
you
saying.
You sound like a robot. His battery was low.
I don't want to see Adam like that. That's just not a visual I want to see.
That's very rude of you to say. 615-737-1025. Our friend Adam in Portland is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com with a Titans prediction. Adam, please go ahead.
Hey, congratulations, Adam, man.
Adam.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, other Adam. I look forward to talking to you every day.
Yeah, man. I was going to ask Derek, do you remember years ago when you guys asked for something similar from the fans and we ended up putting Keith Urban's hair on you and on Chase? It was like the ugliest thing that you had ever
yes.
looked at. But that you don't ask for something you don't actually want us to do. You know what I mean? Like, because it could get wild pretty quick. So my prediction this week, man, I predicted two Titans blowout wins the first 2 weeks, and I looked good the first quarter and second quarter almost of both games. So this week I'm pretty much going the opposite. I still think we win, but I think it's going to come down to Derek's boy Treylon Burks making a play for us at some point. Either he's going to do it or he ain't. And then Nick Folk's leg. And hopefully Nick Folk's leg is still good. So I'm going to go like Titans 27-25. I think we're going to get close to 30, but not get there. But I think we're barely going to sneak by them.
Before you answer that, Derek, thanks, Adam. Mm-hmm. I just saw this tweet from Mike Herndon of PaulGaharski.com, which touches on what Adam just said. This is from Mike Herndon. Quote, today, we are at 992 days since the Titans last scored at least 30 points. Which means Sunday is their last chance to do it before it reaches four figures. If the Titans do not score at least 30 points against the Packers, it will be at least 1,000 days the next time they have an opportunity.
I mean, do I hear 24, like 23? Yes. Like, let's walk before.
How
we
many games? So how many games has it been? Do we have a? I can easily look this up during the break. Do we have it? How many games it's been since they last scored 30 points?
Wow!
Did they do it last year? The
last time may have been. Was it the Green Bay game? They
did they hit 30 that night?
Yeah, they hit 30 that night, I believe.
Well, actually, Herndon has a video clip. It appears they are playing the Dolphins at home.
Dolphins at home, they scored 30?
They were up 27-3 on this touchdown run that I'm looking at, which would have made it 34-3. So that's been the last time
what
they scored.
What year is that?
It's a long time 2022, January 2nd.
I have no idea. 2022, says Nick.
Oh, okay.
Robot Nick.
Robot Nick.
Yeah. Is that? I don't know if that's going out over the air like a robot, but in our ears. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope it's
hopefully you hear now, regular Nick.
What was Adam's question again? Because we got kind of off of it.
He said that he's picking the Titans to win.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. And he says it's going to require a big play from your man, Treylon Burks.
Yes, I heard that part.
Careful what you say, because I just want to tell you, this week, the hottest the text line has gotten over the past week is when you bring up Treylon Burks.
Absolutely, because they love to hate Treylon Burks. And listen, I get it. I understand. But will this game come down to Treylon, you know, them winning or losing? Will it come down to Treylon making some big plays or not? Yes, but it's not just solely Treylon Burks. They got to find a way to connect on these deep routes, whether it be to Treylon Burks, whether it be to Calvin Ridley, or anyone else they choose to throw the ball down the field to. Because we know Will Levis wants to unleash the ball down the field. He'd rather take that than the short, intermediate, close to surefire completions. He'd rather take the long one than the short one. So, yes, it's going to come down to Treylon Burks making a play, but then it's going to come down to other guys contributing to that as well. It can't just be Calvin Ridley. And for the last two games, with the exception of Chiggs' touchdown, it's been Calvin Ridley from the pass game perspective. Now, from the run game, it's been, the running backs, whoever they chose to give the ball to. But from the passing standpoint, it's really only been Calvin Ridley and outside of that, Chick Conquo's touchdown pass.
I do have the game in front of me. It was January 2nd, 2022. The Titans defeated the Dolphins 34-3. Would you like to know who scored in that game for the Titans?
I remember it being like a gray
game at home
for the Titans. I went into the game thinking this could be tough, and it was a lot easier than it appeared to be on paper.
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine scored.
No, but let me read to you the scores in this game, the touchdown scores. Jeff Swaim.
Is he still in the league? I guess he is.
Jeff Swaim.
Deontay Foreman.
He's
Anthony Firkser. And Dontrell Hilliard. Those were the touchdown scores, and Randy Bullock had two field goals.
So this was the year they were the one seed, and they lost the Bengals
game. They improved
to
11-5 with the win.
They did a phenomenal job managing some pretty significant injuries. Number one, Derrick Henry broke the foot.
Was that the year?
Found a way to win.
Exactly.
No, I mean, I'm shocked by how long it's been, but then I saw who scored touchdowns in that game. How many touchdowns do you think Jeff Swaim has scored since that game?
Maybe one more or two.
I don't think there's one. Is there?
He may have scored one more since then.
I thought I saw him. Oh, actually, it's funny. He got a tryout in Cleveland, I think, after David Njoku got injured. And, of course, Mike Vrabel in Cleveland as a member of that coaching staff. So there's that obvious connection. But it's probably been a minute. I'm going to go out on a limb. We do have Take It to the Bank later in the show. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the Titans are probably not going to score 30 points this week. Will Levis needs to throw for more than 200 yards before – thank you. Will Levis needs to throw for more than 200 yards before we can talk 30 points. And I think it's been like 7 of his past 9 games he's been under 200 yards. So let's get there first. Then we'll talk 30 points.
Yeah. Let's get to 20 before we get to 30. 17-17, it's rings all too familiar. From what we've been talking about, but anything can happen, but I think you take a one-point win even if it's ugly. This is one where I think, again, the opportunity is going to be there for field position, ball control, unless you see Jordan Love, and I still am leaning a little bit towards, I'll believe it when I see it, and I just believe we're destined to see Malik Willis versus Will Levis.
That's what the people want.
It's what the people want.
Although the Titans would have a better chance of winning with Malik Willis, though I did see a report that, I mean, not that this is really breaking news, but Jordan Love, if he plays, is not going to be 100%. But a somewhat compromised Jordan Love is still a much better quarterback than a fully healthy Malik Willis. But I want, as the new show open says, I want maximum chaos. I want Willis versus Levis. I mean, as we talked about yesterday, it does not matter what Malik Willis does in that game. If the Packers come out with a win, it's going to be hellfire and brimstone come Monday when we're on the air. And quite frankly, I'm kind of here for it. So we'll see what happens. But Jordan Love practicing the past couple of days, the word of the day in Green Bay this week has been limited. And I believe Matt LaFleur made a point to emphasize each syllable when he said that yesterday. Limited. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation next. Speaking of that game, join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and our own Derek Mason at John Bon Jovi's this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for the pregame show. They'll break down the Titans Week 3 matchup against the Packers and give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, an award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint, and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon.